My name is Justin, and I am one of the pastors here, and this morning's a little bit different. If you've been with us any length of time, you'll probably recognize we tend to not do the same thing every single week. We like to change it up and mix it up. I'm ADD, so this morning's going to be a little bit different, maybe even be a little bit uncomfortable for some of you, but this morning you are actually preaching today's sermon. And so we want to give you an opportunity to speak into the body of Ecclesia and to speak into the church here at Ecclesia. And what we're going to be talking about is in light of Psalm 21 this morning. And so if you were with us last week, we covered Psalm 20. And we recognized that Psalm 20 was this prayer. It was this congregational prayer to save the king. The king was going out into battle. And as he went out into battle, the congregation gathered around him. They prayed that the Lord would save him, that the Lord would protect him, that the Lord would grant him his heart's desires and fulfill all of his plans. And they said what they were trusting in, they were trusting not in horses and chariots, but trusting in the name of the Lord our God. And we talked about how ridiculous that may seem to some of us when we're kind of fashioning our plans or we're coming up with a strategy. And we can imagine when things kind of go haywire in our life or things are a little bit chaotic, are we trusting in horses and chariots? Are we trusting in our own plans? Are we trusting in the name of the Lord? And Psalm 21 is connected to Psalm 20. In fact, they tie so closely together that this week we wanted to really give a way of response to Psalm 21. And so if you'll turn with me to Psalm 21, we're going to read it together. You can follow along with me. If you don't have a Bible, you're more than welcome to grab one off our back table, and that's yours if you don't have one. But Psalm 21 is the answer. It's the praise. It's the thanksgiving for the very things that they prayed about in Psalm 20. And so in Psalm 21, it says this, O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exults. You have given him his heart's desire, and you've not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with rich blessings. You set a crown of fine gold upon his head. He asked life of you. You gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you bestow on him. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord. And through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. You will make them as a blazing oven when you appear. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will consume them. You will destroy their descendants from the earth, and their offspring from among the children of man. Though they plan evil against you, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed. For you will put them to flight. You will aim at their faces with your bows. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. And so we see in this text, there's two major divisions in this text. And the major division is praising God for his power when we're on his team, and praising God for his power against those who are not on his team. Now, it's easy for us to look at this text and ultimately just be like, I want to be on the Lord's team, because verse 12 seems a little scary to me. It sounds a little horrific. It sounds a little fearful if I'm one of God's enemies. It tells me that you will aim a bow at my face. That sounds frightening. That should cause fear in us if we're not on the Lord's team, if we're not a part of his family. And so this text is divided into these two parts. One, praising God for his power for those who are on his team, and praising God for his power when injustice has been done, that God would protect us from our enemies. And we see his power. And all through this, the response is that the king is going to rejoice. In fact, in verse 1, it says the king is going to exult. Now, for us, we don't typically walk around and be like, you know, yesterday I was exulting. And we don't use this term, but the word exult literally just means for us to shout with joy. And so my question to us this morning is when is the last time we've been moved to joy, where we've been moved with passion to rejoice over the Lord's power and strength in our lives? When is the last time? Have we truly stepped out and saw what the Lord has done? Have we taken a moment to sit back and reflect on the goodness of God to us in his power? And I love what it says in verse 6. I think this is one of the highlights of this psalm. It says, "You make him glad with the joy of your presence." So the best gift that God can give us is not wealth. The best gift that God can give us is not stuff. The best gift that God can give us is his very presence. That's good news. We get God. We get him. And so my question to us this morning, are we trusting in the power and presence of God in our life? Or to go back to last week, are we trusting in horses and chariots? Horses and chariots, like we talked about last week, were one of the greatest things that you wanted to have in your possession when you were going into battle. Someone going into war wants to have, they want to have a lot of horses and chariots. But they said, they're going to use means, but not trust in means. We're going to use horses and chariots, but our trust is not in horses and chariots. Our trust is in the name of the Lord. And the more that we tend to reflect on our own abilities and power and trust in our own horses and chariots, very rarely will we be moved to this place of joy and gratitude towards the Lord for what he has done and where he's at work. So one commentator says this, "Constantly we must choose between self-power and relying upon the Lord alone. We want to be in control of our lives. We want to take the credit for the victories we achieve. Yet we are too often forced to admit by circumstances, by our own failures, just how little control we have over our own lives. We cannot even control our own desires, our discipline, our use of time, money, or the TV. How can we hope to exert influence on our children, world politics, natural forces, or anything else in this world?" It said many 12-step programs like AA, they incorporate an admission of powerlessness as the first step to the program. Admitted we were powerless over that our lives have become unmanageable. Rather than fostering despair, however, the program moves on to a second step, which says, we came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And so we recognize there is a power, and we recognize that power to be God and God alone. And we recognize that we are powerless in and of our own strength. And so do we understand our victories, however great or however small these victories are, do we recognize these victories as God's deliverance? That is what this psalm is teaching. They're recognizing this victory is not because the king is strong. It's not because the king has many horses and chariots. It's not because the king had this great strategic plan. They recognize their victory was only because of the Lord. And so we are going to be moved this morning to ask the question, where have we been blown away by the power of God? Where have we seen the power of God evident in our own lives? What has the Lord done that moves us to joy? Verse 13, it says, "We will sing and praise your power." So I want us to be obedient to this text this morning, and I want us to take a moment, in just a few moments, to sit back and reflect on where has God moved in power in our lives that has moved us to a place to sing and praise him. That is what this psalm is about. And that is what I want us to walk in obedience to. It's easy for myself and for many of us to just constantly be running forward and never sit back and reflect. We look at the rhythms in, you know, within the Israelites, and we look at the early church, and we look at the celebrations and the feasts that they constantly came back to. These were yearly rhythms. They were turning points to celebrate the power of God and how God has moved graciously and powerfully on their behalf. And so these celebrations that the church would walk through were basically times where they would come back that were rhythms. They were times set aside to sit back and reflect. And I think we don't do that often enough as a church. We don't take time to sit back and reflect on the goodness of God and to celebrate, and how encouraging that would be for us in the room. For maybe some of us who feel like we've prayed and prayed and prayed and we just have yet to hear answers from God. But to hear how God is being faithful in the lives of others, how God is moving, how God has been powerful in the lives of others, how that can bring us great encouragement this morning, and how that can move us from trusting in our own power to placing our trust in He who alone has the power to do everything and anything. When we take the moment to stop and just reflect on the power of God, it's going to remind us of the nature and character of God. It's going to remind us that nothing is too hard for God, that there's not a prayer request that's too big for God. And it's going to hopefully move us, as verse 13, to sing and praise. And that's my hope this morning. My hope this morning is that as we take the moment to sit back and reflect on these things, they would move us to praise. A few passages just talking about remembrance. Deuteronomy 6:12, "Then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Deuteronomy 8:2, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in his heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." Psalm 145:4, "One generation shall commend your works to another." Parents in the room, we have an opportunity this morning to declare the power and mighty hand of God to our kids. 1 Corinthians 11:24, "And when we had given thanks, he broke it, said, 'This is my body for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And we, every week, we gather around the communion tables, a time of remembrance, celebrating how powerful the Lord was in beating death. And so that's where we want to move this morning. We want to put our focus upon gratitude of where the Lord has been mighty on our behalf, that we would look at this King who has seen this great victory, and that we would be able this morning to celebrate our victories where the Lord has been strong on our behalf. We tend to focus sometimes on what we lack, on what we don't have. We are surrounded by advertising that persuades us that if we have this thing, that it will ultimately satisfy. And so this morning, I wonder if we would just take an opportunity to reflect on the things that the Lord has done in our life, how big or how small, and the things that we would say, "I'm thankful for them." I was reading an article this week and just talking about gratitude, and I came across someone just saying, "Hey guys, I want you to know how really happy I am about my salary at my job right now." And I think that can almost come across, like, if that were to be had in conversation, almost as like boasting, you know, like you're coming like, "Hey, I want you to know like how satisfied I am in my marriage." And some of us don't want to put that forward, just in the sense of like, we may be talking about to someone who is not satisfied in their marriage. But very often, like we refrain from celebrating and giving thanks to where the Lord at work. And I believe this is incredibly biblical. We have to celebrate the small things, the big things, the things that we see God's hand in. If your marriage is healthy this morning, it's only because of the power of God. If you're here this morning and you're breathing, it's only because of the power of God. If you're here this morning and there is joy in your heart. It's because of the power of God. How often do we take and celebrate and we wake up in the morning and we go, whew, man, I got breath. Thank you, Lord. Right? How often do we just say thank you? And so this passage in the Psalms, and I'll read this and then a quick prayer and then you get to preach. Psalm 104:14-15. As love, just the simple things that the Lord has done. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen the man's heart. We just see like very common things, food, wine, livestock, and these are great, great gifts from the Lord. Do we celebrate those? Do we recognize that every good gift comes from the Father above? I'll read this prayer, and I share it with this explanation. I read this prayer, and I thought how often I take for granted the very things that are in God's control and the things that God is working. But this is the prayer of a man fishing in Alaska. Here we go. Heavenly Father, as I wake up today in one of the most beauty-soaked, fish-laden, all-fueling spots in the world, Alaska, I want to take time to say a big thank you. I want to express heartfelt gratitude for a wide array of things I'd never have if you weren't so generous. Father, thank you for an over-the-top glorious salvation in Jesus. By your sovereign goodness, you revealed the depth of my need, and then you lavished the riches of the gospel upon me. I'm hidden in Christ, standing in grace, and rooted in your love. I'm an object of your constant affection and a subject in your unshakable kingdom. A focus, Jesus's prayers, and a son in which your spirit dwells. These things alone mock any whining, pining, carping, and harping I can muster. But there's so much more. I have a roof over my head and heaven as my home. A family to love and your story to live. A Bible filled with trustworthy promises and buddies with whom to catch big salmon. A body that still mostly works. And a resurrection body that will never wear out. Taste buds to enjoy cobbler, and eyes to behold creation's wonder. Father, I also praise you today for freeing me to live with more mystery and laugh with greater spontaneity, for helping me be less busy and more present, for breaking my chains and wilting my shame, for friends who invite me to play and friends who love to pray. I bless you for my vocation and this vacation. Father, I love you. Thank you for being so astonishingly generous with me. So very amen. I pray in Jesus' wonderful and merciful name. And so this morning, whether it's you're standing beside a body of water catching salmon, or we're thanking God for the power and his salvation, we recognize every good gift comes from the Father above. And so this morning, I'm going to have us basically sit quiet for a few minutes and want to give you an opportunity to just jog back in your memory some of the things where you have seen the power of God in your own life, where you've seen the generosity of God in your own life, where you've seen victory in your own life because of the power of God. And ask yourself this question. As it says in verse 13, we will sing and praise your power. Where have you seen God's power in your life that has moved you to praise? And so this morning we'll have an opportunity to share that around this room, and we'll come around with mics. You don't have to come forward, we'll come to you. And then we're going to celebrate those things this morning. So let's just have a moment where we just sit and reflect. And then in a few minutes, I'll call on somebody. wrap a bow on this, I think it's easy for us when we talk about the faithfulness of God and the promises of God and the power of God. We go to those things where we, in our finite minds, we define good. And like if we were to define good, many times it would be horses and chariots. Like that seems good. Horses and chariots seem good. But sometimes it's another path. It's not the horses and chariots path that God seeks to bring good. It's through difficulty. It's through miscarriages. It's through that God is birthing something that is truly good. And I hope we come to know that as a church. We continue to remind each other of that as a church. Incredibly thankful for you guys. Incredibly thankful for you being witnesses to the power of God and how he's at work in your life. Thanks for preaching today. It encourages my heart. Many of you guys have been super thankful for like what this church has meant to you and how you've grown. And I just want to bring some clarity into some point in that. And that's if there is anything happening in your life here, it's not because of any of us. I want that praise to be directed directly to the Lord. It is the Lord's power and strength that he's at work in our midst. Our job, if you were to drive by the Capitol 10 o'clock tonight, you look up at the Capitol building, you don't walk up to the light and go, man, that's an amazing light bulb that's shining up on the building, right? You don't look down and be like, man, you know, that's about a 300-watt bulb there. You know, that's pretty, you know, that's pretty incredible. No, like you're looking at what it's giving light, like it's casting light upon. And our job as a team and as worship leaders and as people in our community, all of us are involved in this. We're just casting a light on what really matters. We're casting a light on something that is truly awesome. And the power of God, as you've, you know, given evidence to this morning, that is what is truly awesome. And we get to cast a light on that in our world. To wrap a bow on this passage, this is a royal psalm. It's talking about the king. But one of the cool things about royal psalms is that royal psalms always have a messianic prophecy. And so ultimately, we see these things in light of King David here that his life was preserved, and we should give thanks. But ultimately, we see this passage come true in the light of who Jesus is. And so Jesus is the true king. And ultimately, our king has been victorious. Our king has won the battle on our behalf. Jesus' desire, when it says you've answered the desires of his heart, Jesus' desire is our salvation. And for many of us, we've stepped into that. We have been saved. And I love this passage that says, you make him glad with the joy of your presence. Because Jesus was victorious, we can be made glad with the joy of God's presence. That our dwelling place, as it says in Revelation 21:3, that our dwelling place is now with God and we will be with him forever. That's good news this morning. And so in light of all this, we get to respond. We get to respond, as verse 13 says, we will sing and praise your power. And so for the next few moments, we're going to have the communion tables open to come and celebrate his power over death, his power in the resurrection. And so in a few moments, when we stand and sing, as you feel led, you may go to the table to celebrate what Christ has done on our behalf on the cross. But then to come back and even reflect, even if you haven't shared this morning, that you would just take the next few moments to celebrate his goodness, his power, his strength, his might in delivering toilet paper to your front door, right? It's awesome. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for space to come and reflect. We don't always need more information to go in. We really just need more space and time to reflect on your goodness. You've given us so much. God, thank you for ways in which you've directed our paths that we ultimately probably wouldn't even have gone down unless you wouldn't have led us there. But in your goodness, you've directed us, and we trusted you. And I pray that we would continue to trust in you, that we would recognize that horses and chariots, with horses and chariots, will never be victorious. May we trust in the name that truly matters, the name that's truly awesome, and may our lives point to that, the name of Jesus. Amen.